And now, Ben.
Good morning. Okay, this is one of my favorite mission moments because it's like one of ours. I love doing all of these, but it's probably most exciting when we've got a family that is here with us and are heading out very soon on mission. So you guys may remember JP and Liz, and I'm going to butcher Yana. The last few times I have seen them in a mission moment, they've been on the video screen in the background in Thailand, right? Yeah. So it's awesome to have them here today. They've had a ton of transition, a lot of things going on, big adventure. So I'm going to let you guys give us an update first.
Okay, cool. All right. So first, thank you for the opportunity to get up here and share our story. And also, thank you for the people who have been supporting us through this transition. It really humbles us, and we're very thankful for just your faith in us and the mission that God has for us. So when we were in Thailand, there was just evidence that we were not really in the right place for long term anyway. That wasn't the direction we were supposed to continue to go in. And so when we came back, I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to do a Reader's Digest version here. After a series of events that God made it clear in a direction to go, he really put Czech Republic on our heart. It started back when we were in Kenya with Vic, and then into Tanzania, where we were originally planning to go. It was just evident at that point that really wasn't the place that we weren't supposed to continue to go on that path. And so that was a big thing. And so we started this other path, and Czech Republic was put on our heart. And I've been there, when it was September? Yeah. So went there in September. I did some TESOL training, so to learn, to be certified to teach people, teaching English to speakers of other languages. I have to always walk myself through that acronym. But so I went there, and then God just really spoke to our heart, continued to confirm it while we were over there.
I'm just fascinated with Yane. Sorry. So one of the things that I'm curious about, want to hear about, I mean, there's so much that goes in just to go into a country you've never been to take the gospel to people that don't know it, and that seemed really, really hard and really, really scary to me. So just as a family, how do you guys think about that? How do you approach that? What has the Lord been doing with you guys?
I will share a little bit. I was talking to myself one day, you know, pretty sure we all do it, and I thought about it. You know, we've been to Africa, and for me, as I was thinking about it, I'm like, wow, this is kind of scary. Like, we're going to Eastern Europe, Prague, you know, and Eastern Europeans are a lot different than Africans, you know. It's a cold climate culture, not necessarily like climate like we're feeling today, but just a cooler, more closed off, a little more shut down than if you were to go to Africa or Guatemala or the Philippines, where they're a little more open and warmer towards you. And so I had realized in that moment for me personally, I was like, wow, I've been depending on my own strength for so long to reach people. And it scared me to think going into the Czech Republic, I'm like, wow, I'm really going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit, you know? And so that was a conviction for me, and that was just a big revelation for me of just where I was, where I want to be, and how dependent on the Lord that I need to be for that. And so it's exciting and it's terrifying at the same time. But these people, when we were there, it was like this deep affection for these people that before, years ago, honestly, I know this sounds kind of terrible, but I despised. I didn't like Europe. I didn't like the people. You know, and I went there and I just fell in love with them. It was immediate. You know, I could look at them and they could, you know, shut me down and reject me immediately. And I could just look at them with just love, just deep, deep love and just peace in our hearts. And so that's how I know, you know, that God's hand's not always only on it, not just because of that, but just like JP said, the events leading up to it. And so I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us just prayer requests. What are your needs? What can we be praying for?
So can I just say one more thing about the Czech Republic? Okay. Yeah. So in the Czech Republic, there's like 67% irreligious people. So they're either atheist, they're agnostic, or they just don't care, really. So there's a huge opportunity to really reach people there. And that's what one of the things that I'm most passionate about is because here in America, I've like lived in this. I'm like so nervous right now that she's going to mess something up. So I'm sorry. So like here in America, I mean, I did a really good job, and I'm not really proud of it, but being like in a Christian bubble. And so like all my friends were from church, you know, Tuesday morning Bible studies and all this other kind of stuff. And I wasn't really doing what I'm called to do internationally here in the States. And so when we were in the Czech Republic, in this class, there was like 20 people, none of them were Christians. And they knew exactly why I was... Someone's going to have to readjust these things. But they knew exactly why, you know, I was there. They knew that I loved Jesus, and I wanted to share the love of Jesus with other people. And they accepted that. They they opened up, and they shared things with me, and they were asking questions. And it was just so encouraging to see that hunger in people that I think God has given a gift with us to have those sort of those walls when it comes to when you talk to certain people about Christianity. Those walls are sort of up automatically. For us, in our experience, it's been the walls come down and people are really opening up to us and giving us opportunity. So that's one of the things I'm really excited about being there.
I have one thing to say that reminded me. I've said this to a lot of people, so if I'm saying it again and you're hearing it for like the second or third time, I apologize. But it really, when we were there, we met with a pastor. And we spent probably like 2 or 3 hours with him learning about the Czech people, just learning about, I mean, just life in general. And one thing that he said to me really struck with me. He said that people, like Westerners, a lot of times, you know, you go to a grocery store and like we're very like open and we'll share our whole life with you, you know, just standing in line with somebody, you know, just like, oh, grandkids, you know, I have this sickness, or whatever it is, you know, and it can be really great, but, like, the wall to our hearts is really thick, and so, like, the outer layer is super thin, so we talk about all this surface level stuff, but the wall to our heart is super thick, and so it's like once people start kind of getting to that edge or wanting to get closer, you know, we kind of shut them off, and we're like, no, don't get too close. But he said something, it was so beautiful. He said, the Czech people, their outer layer wall is very thick, and so it takes a really long time to build connection, to build relationship, to build, just for them to trust you, to believe that you are there for the long run. And but if you're consistent and you're persistent and in the rejection, once you get past that thick outer layer wall, that wall to their heart is super thin. And once you're in for life. And you have the most, like, just in-depth, rich relationships you could possibly ever imagine. And they're there for life. And it's so beautiful. And it just, like, it brought tears to my eyes because I was like, wow, you know, if we just can consistently pursue these people like Jesus pursues us, you know, he doesn't give up on us. And so that just so encouraged my heart not to give up on them. And so I just want to encourage you guys. Okay, hold the mic for me. So there were a couple scriptures that I had been praying about and just the Lord brought to my attention. And this is what it feels like for me because sometimes I can't completely articulate what I want to say or feel. But it's in Jeremiah. And one of the scriptures was Jeremiah 29. He says, but if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. And so, I mean, you have to read the whole passage, but like that part was just like, that's how I feel. Like I can't hold it in, you know? And I just want to encourage each and every single one of you that each and every single one of you guys has been qualified. You're already qualified because you're a son and daughter of the living God. Okay, so it's not going into the nations, going out into your community is not just for a select few. It's for each and every single one of you. And so you are empowered, you are fully equipped, you have everything that you ever need. You are never in lack. And so I just want to encourage you guys, it's not just for us, it's for you too. And so I leave you with the last scripture. I'm not going to preach, sorry, Vic. I just want to encourage because it's just on my heart. But, you know, it's the scripture we all know and we all talk about. It's Matthew 28, where Jesus came and told his disciple, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples." And I was like, disciples sound so daunting to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do you make a disciple, you know? But all it is a student. It's a follower. It's just a student. And so of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach these new students or disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Guys, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. Like, we don't have to do this in our own strength. It's by his power. It's by his Spirit. And so we just want to thank you guys so much just for your support, your faithfulness, the community that we have here. And it's all for him. So...
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to pray for you guys. I know there's several things you need, but you put a lot of them there, including, you know, resources, a home, a vehicle. They may not say this, but I'll say it for them. One of their requirements in just a walk of faith is to raise their own support to go, and they're about halfway there. They've raised about $4,000 monthly support that they need. And so I want to put that back on our body to pray about whether or not God would have you engage with them, and you've heard their hearts and be senders. So let's pray. They're going to hang out afterwards, right, in the lobby. So if you want to get to know them more, talk with them, pray with them, they'll be there. So Lord, I lift up this family. I thank you for all that you've done. I remember praying for them. You know, a year ago, maybe more than that, when they were in Thailand, I see the work that you've done. I've seen the prayers that you've answered, and so we're here to pray again, and I believe you have put them on a new course and a new path, and you have spoken, and they've responded, and they're being obedient. So we ask you would give them the resources they need to be effective, a home to live in, a car to drive. We pray for relationships in the Czech Republic. Pray that those barriers would be broken down and they could deliver the gospel of Jesus to people in a nation that doesn't know you. Lord, and that we would get the chance just to rejoice that you've heard our prayers and you've answered those prayers, Lord. So provide for them, protect them, Lord. Bring them close to you. Lord, and I pray they would work in a manner that's pleasing to you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. All right, so any of you know those people, or any of you, you don't raise your hand, are those people who, man, if it doesn't say Jesus is the reason for the season, you know, like, you know, it's like happy holidays, someone says that to them and they get, you know, really bent out of shape, or God forbid you have Christmas trees, or, you know, there's some people who might walk into a place like this on a Sunday morning and see a Christmas tree and walk right out, you know, like, how could you have a pagan worship symbol in the house of God? To which I would say, I don't know if you know it, but this is a gymnasium. It's, you know, not really a house of God. You know, like, according to the scripture, he doesn't live in houses built by human hands. He lives in us. And so as we gather as the people of God, it becomes the place of God. But, you know, that's no more to me a pagan worship symbol than that is to some people, right? It's about what's going on in your heart. And I just like that video because I was that person one time. My wife can tell you, man, I was like, has to be all Jesus, all of our Christmas cards. We got to let people know where we stand. And the problem is, I think that to a large degree, often many of us as Christians, we're known by what we're against rather than what we're for, right? And the world sees that. And you know, what if we just chose to see Jesus in every aspect of it? I mean, I know it's commercialized, and I know there's stuff that's distracting, and a lot of things that aren't necessarily biblical, but you know what? There's stuff like that in church also. I mean, there's things that are distracting to some of us when we gather like this. There's things that we do that aren't necessarily biblical. It's hard to find a record in Scripture of buildings like this that people would gather in that they called churches. It's hard to find anything about a praise and worship team. It's hard to find anything about a youth group. But we love those things. We appreciate those things. And there's a lot that we can appreciate about this season, I think. I mean, the fact that you can walk into a grocery store or into a department store and they're singing about the good news of Jesus. Like, that should put a smile on our face, right? I mean, I love the fact that in between, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman, you can turn on the TV at some point during this time of the year, you're going to see the Charlie Brown Christmas special, right? And Linus is going to get up there, and to the world, he's going to preach the gospel. I mean, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I mean, there's just so many open doors during the season, and rather than look at it so negatively and being so bent out of shape because people miss the point, let's not forget that people have been missing the point for 2,000 years, right? When Jesus first showed up, everybody missed the point. I mean, nobody expected God to show up that way, and the religious people wanted him dead for claiming to be the Messiah. The God of heaven stepped out of heaven and came to earth, and that's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. So we're going to kind of take a break from 1 Timothy, and we're going to do this little series called Heaven on Earth. And, you know, even though people miss the point, and even though there's people who may even be hostile when you try to talk about the true reason of this season, just know it's probably the most open time that we have as believers to share the good news with people. I mean, people are just they're open, they're celebrating, and they may not know what the season's all about, but you have an opportunity, I have an opportunity to share my faith, to share the true reason with people. And for some of us, you know, that's hard. Like Liz was saying, she read from Matthew 28, we're all called to go and make disciples. And I know a lot of us go, man, I'm not an evangelist, that's hard. But it's as simple as just sharing that God came and he loves us. And if that's too hard for you, listen, over the next couple of weeks, I'll ask you to do something. Just invite someone to come here. Invite someone to come. They're open. If they're anytime they're open to coming to a church service, it's this time of the year. Invite them to come. And invite family members to come next week. Those of you who have kids who are going to be singing, invite them to come. And they're going to hear the gospel. And I don't say that, trust me. Those of you who know me, I'm not saying that to try to grow the church or anything like that. It's not about growing the church. It's about getting people to Jesus, right? And so you have an opportunity, so invite people. You know, we don't have one of those fancy church signs out there where you can change the little message with your little witty, cheesy church message, you know, that will draw people in. We don't have one of those. And thank God we don't have one of those, right? But we have you, and so you can go out and share, and I think you can do a much better job than some sign out there, right? I think you can do a better job than this. I'm going to show you a couple of the Christmas signs from churches to try to draw people in. You can do a better job than this. How about the first one? Think you might be going to hell? Skip church on Christmas and make sure. I mean, seriously. That's awesomely terrible. Or how about this next one? Santa Claus never died for anyone, right? And don't you forget it. And this one is my favorite. Jesus is the rizzle for the sizzle. If we did, or for the shizzle if we did it, right? But I mean, I think you guys could do a better job than that. I mean, you can use some of those lines if you want, but I think you can do a better job from that. And I'll promise you, I will do my best to not embarrass you when they come, and we will share the gospel in a very simple, real way. You know, we've been talking about it as we go through 1 Timothy, just about the good news of the gospel. We've been talking about it over and over. Last week, if you were here, we shared about the good news, how it's good news for us spiritually. It saves us from our sins, but also physically, and we talked about how as Christians, as God moves in our hearts, we move in ways into the world to do things, and it can impact people's lives and change people's lives. And we shared last week about a woman in India who's in the leper colony that we support, and she has part of her foot has it's been infected and lost part of her foot because of the disease, and gangrene has set in, and if they don't amputate part of her leg, she's going to die. And so she went to Reggie and said, you know, please help me, save me. And he sent us a message that she needs surgery and needed to amputate part of her leg. It's going to cost $2,000. And we said, we believe God wants to save her, so get it done. And so her name's Rukamani, and there's a picture that'll come up. And so now she is in the hospital, and they started to just get her on some antibiotics and things like that. And so tomorrow they're going to actually amputate a portion of her leg to save her life. And I told Reggie, I said, tell her that God loves her and Jesus wants her to live. And so he sent me this message a couple days ago, and this is what she said in response. I was about to die, and they brought me here into the hospital. Everyone was saying at the leper colony, you will die soon, and the graveyard is waiting. But Jesus is alive, and I will live long. Jesus heals and will take me back safe. Praise to the name of Jesus. I mean, Jesus brings good news. The good news of the gospel is that God has come. He's come to this earth, and he wants to restore that relationship with his people to himself. And once he does, then he moves in our hearts, and it brings good news to the whole world. And so thank you. For those of you who contribute here and give to the ministry here, just know that it goes to do things like this and to bring the good news to people. Jesus steps out of heaven and comes to earth. And when Jesus came to earth, when heaven came to earth, just remember this, that was not the first time that God was here present on the earth. Okay, so as we start talking about Christmas, this first message today, it might seem a little bit weird, but I think we need to go all the way back to the beginning if we want to know the story of Christmas. So I want to spend a little bit of time in Genesis this morning, Genesis 2, verses 4 to 7, to remind us of how the story began. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth. And there were no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed breath. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. So the story begins with God creating the heavens and the earth, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all present at creation. So I want to make sure that we understand that first, okay? So Jesus didn't just come on the scene when he came as a baby. Jesus was present from the beginning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, a part of creation. Genesis 1, 1 to 2 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So the Spirit of God is present at creation. John 1, beginning in verse 1, in the beginning, the Word, speaking of Jesus, already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So the Father is present at creation, the Spirit and the Son. Everything was made through Jesus, it says. Everything. Look at Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Okay? So the word there in the Hebrew, that word formed, the word is yasar, and it basically, it has the idea, it's often used for the work of an artist, okay? So those of you who are artists or into art, it's used for the work of an artist who would create something. And so if you are an artist or you understand that, I mean, artists pour their heart and soul into the things that they create. They take time to do that. And it says that God formed us. He formed the man out of the ground. It's like an artist creating this beautiful work, right? And that's what God did when he made humanity. And don't miss how personal that is. I mean, God, I mean, it's not just like boom, 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 creation. Like, God, it was thoughtful. We're made in his image. David talks about this in the Psalms, Psalm 139. David says to God, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Again, that same, that creation. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship, the work of an artist, your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. And I hope you understand that this morning. You're created by God and for God, and there's purpose in your life as a result. So God creates Adam, and then he creates Eve. And the scripture tells us that he also creates this garden. In verse 8 and 9, it says, now the Lord God planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So God creates man, he creates woman, and he puts them in this garden. And there's all these trees in the middle of the garden. There's these two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God gives them one command, right? What's the command? Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? It's not the tree of knowledge, like we sometimes just say automatically. It's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's not that God didn't want them to know. It's just that God didn't want them to know this one thing. Because when God created everything, after he creates everything, what does he say? God created it, and it was good. But this one tree would give them knowledge of not just good, but evil. What was the one thing that God did not want them to know? Evil. See, God never intended for them to know evil. He never intended or never desired for them to know sin and all the effects that it brings. But this loving God who thoughtfully creates Adam and Eve, he lovingly also gives them a choice. See, they can choose to love him back and follow him and obey what he said, or they can choose to rebel and go their own way. God gave them the ability to choose. Well, we know the story, right? So Adam and Eve are tempted, and Eve takes of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in that moment, everything changes. See, God gave him the promise. He said, if you eat from this tree, you will surely die. And God's always good to his word. His word can be trusted. He promised that they would die, and they would. But what they didn't know is that in the process of, you know, death coming to them, death would come to all things. See, all of a sudden, everything that was good, now there would be pain, now there would be suffering, now there would be death, there would be disease, and evils of all kind would impact the way that the world operated. And it was something they would have never, they never could have imagined. So basically, God is walking with his creation. I mean, it's paradise, everything's perfect. And now as a result of their decision, paradise would be lost. Their perfect relationship with God would change. So they eat. And when God shows up, after it all happens, he says, where are you? And where are they? They're hiding. It says they take fig leaves and they cover up and they hide because they feel guilt, they feel shame. They never felt that before. Everything changed. Their relationship with God changed. Their relationship with one another changed. I mean, just think about that for a minute. God, it's in Scripture says, as God was walking in the cool of the morning in the garden, God's walking on the earth that he created. You can say that's figurative, or we don't know if it is. Some people say, well, God's Spirit. Well, remember, God, the Father, Son, Spirit were all present at that time. God's walking on the world, the earth that he created, with his people in perfect relationship. This is the way it was. And then all of a sudden it's broken. They hide. God says, what happened? They confess to what has happened. And all of a sudden, heaven on earth, I mean, everything perfect, all of a sudden it changes. In an instant, everything changed. Adam and Eve chose to believe a lie and rebel against God. In that moment, that perfect paradise was lost. Genesis 3, verses 21 to 24. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. Now, what if they reach out and take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. See, God never intended for them to know evil personally. See, everything was good. He said, don't eat from this tree, this one tree, and it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They already knew good. He didn't want them to know evil. He didn't want them to know the pain that we now know and now experience. God wanted it to be perfect, that relationship with him, just the way he created them. He gave them everything, and there was only one thing that was off limits, and they chose to disobey, and he said they would die. And they would, along with everything else. But see, here's the thing. That's not the end of the story. Because even though God gives them the ability to choose, even though he gives them free will, and even though that would change the way things are for a time, it doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change God's plan. See, I'm convinced from reading the scripture and what I understand about it that God desired to live with his people forever without any of the pain and suffering that we experience today. I think that's what God wanted. I'm going to tell you, God gets what he wants. See, you know, like, so all this happens as a result of sin and pain and death and disease, all that comes into the world. But God goes, all right, they screwed it all up. But he's the one who created them. He's the one who formed them. He's the one who had a plan. And he goes, I'm not going to let it stay this way. He wanted everything to be good. And one day, it would be. See, because this loving God who created everything, he had a plan. And we see a glimpse of this plan when God pronounces the curse on the world. we see a glimpse of it when he pronounces the curse on the serpent in Genesis 3. Look at verses 14 to 15. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So this is a prophetic word, a foreshadowing of what would come, that through the offspring of the woman ultimately would come one who the enemy would strike his heel, so to speak, but he would crush his head. And it's that picture that we see of the one who would come to earth, when heaven would come to earth once again, and God would walk with his people. Look at Matthew 1, verses 18 to 21. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with a child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save their people, his people, from their sins. See, the promise from way back in the garden of the one who would come now is fulfilled. You know, I often talk about it when we tell this story. Joseph, who's a righteous man, he's about to divorce basically Mary. Now they're engaged, but that engagement is like stronger than marriage these days. You know, marriage is kind of this disposable thing these days. That back then, I mean, you didn't even separate from an engagement. It was that strong. And so he's about to say, see ya, because she came to him and said, what? Hey, I just got to break this news to you. I know you're not going to believe this, but I'm pregnant, but it's okay because it's from God, right? And he's like, yeah, right. I don't care how righteous you are, okay? Nobody's buying that story, right? So, I mean, nobody's buying that. I don't care how righteous he is. So if you're ever wondering why the angel showed up to tell Joseph that, it's because an angel needed to show up to tell him that, right? Because that's, I don't care how good of a man you are, you're not believing that story. But the angel shows up and says, no, this is from God, from the Holy Spirit. And so Mary has this child. And what's the name she's supposed to give him? Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means the Lord who saves. I mean, you look at that, you see how much God loves his people. See, he created us to have a relationship with him. He wanted everything to be perfect. He wanted to live with us and be with us. But he gave us a choice to love him, to obey him, or to go our own way. And Adam and Eve chose their own way, but it didn't change the heart of God. You know, that's just so awesome to me. You see the love of God from the very beginning, so much so that he goes, all right, they blew it. But now I'm going to take it upon myself to make things right. And I'm going to come. And so God, the one who walked the earth when everything was perfect, now decides to step out of heaven and once again step on the earth. But this sin-stained, ugly, disease-ridden, death-filled earth, and he would take all of that disease, he would take all of that death, he would take all of that pain on himself. Why? To save his people from their sins, because he loves them so much. See, his desire never changed. He would make a way, and he created us, and he breathed life into us. And now he says, I'll come again so that your sin can be taken away, and I'll breathe new life into you. See, that's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the story that we celebrate during Christmas. And it's just good for us to know the whole story. Because when people ask you things like, why is there so much evil in the world? We should at least have some kind of answer. And even if it's as simple as, I don't believe that that's the way that God desired for it to be. And to be able to tell a little bit of this story, it just makes the good news that much more beautiful to see God's heart. In Christ, we can be forgiven and made new. Because of what he's done, the relationship with God can be restored. And of course, we know the end of the story. See, at the end of the story, God gets what he wants. Read Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And God wipes away every tear, and there's no more death, and there's no more pain. There's none of the stuff that we see here. And then God will be once again with his people, walking with them, face to face, will be with them forever. So God ultimately gets what he wants and what he desires. The crappy part for us is we got to walk through the in-between, right? So I want to encourage you today, it's not the end of the story. See, whatever's going on in your life, whatever's going on in your heart, know the heart of God. It's his desire to have fellowship with us, to be close to him, and that's why Jesus came. Levi, I'm going to ask you guys if you guys can come back up. When Adam and Eve first sinned, when they disobeyed, when they turned their backs on God, what did they do? When God came back on the scene, what did they do? They hid, right? So they hide because they're ashamed, because they've sinned. And the reality is, some of us are doing that today. See, we hide because we sin and there's stuff in our life and we realize we're like, God, I'm not worthy. And what did God do when he walked and they weren't there? He says, where are you? See, they're hiding and God's seeking. Because God loves us. Jesus was there in the beginning, okay? So he was there at the creation. He was there. He saw the first sin. He was there for it all. And he loves us so much, he made a decision to come to bring life to us, to show his love. God so loved the world. That's why he did it. Do you see how foolish it is to hide? I mean, why hide from a God who loves us so much? He's the God who seeks and saves. His name is Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. That's why he came. He loves us that much. The problem is we have a hard time believing that. And there's people all outside of here who haven't even heard that message. The message they've heard is, you do that, God doesn't love. God hates you. God hates that sin and he hates you. They need to hear about this God that loves them. We need to know this God that loves us. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And as we sing this last song, there is communion off to either side. It's always available on Sunday mornings here if you desire to share a moment of communion and remembering the sacrifice that was made. His life and his light shined into this world and comes into our life, and he wants that light to shine out of us. If we could only just believe that God is as good as he says he is. Let me pray for us. God, help us to believe. God, as we sing this song, I pray that it would be a reminder of just how much you love us. God, the truth of the gospel, the good news. It's good news for all men and all women. It's good news for us, God, that we can come out of hiding. God, that we can tell the people we know, God loves you. God, help us to reach out. Help us to not hide. Help us to not allow our sin and our guilt and our shame to keep us from sharing this good news with others. Even if it's a simple, hey, we're having this thing at our church. Come and would you like to join us? God, help us to share your love and remember you're as good as you say you are, and you love us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name.